Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. So many things out there to talk about, so much to do, and yet there's something that feels like it's at the forefront of everybody's minds now today because Pam Bondi's been fired.
Kaylee, I just got off the phone with President Trump. We have a big scoop. Pam Bondi will soon leave her job as the attorney general. She is going to get a different job within the administration. It doesn't sound like there is any bad blood between her and President Trump, but it does seem like they want her to go and do something else. And in an interim role, she will be replaced by Todd Blanche, who is currently her deputy at the Justice Department. So it doesn't sound like Blanche is being elevated long term to the attorney general. There might be somebody else that the president wants to go in there. But President Trump soon will announce to the entire world that it is the end of Pam Bondi's time as the attorney general. He still thinks that she is a great person and that she did a good job. And he still wants her in the fold because she will still be an important part of the administration, he tells me.
You know, actually, hold on. I got to stop. It feels like there's something missing from this as I'm doing this. Let's see if I can play this too at the same time. There we go. That's a little bit better. Let's hear that again.
Kaylee, I just got off the phone with President Trump. We have a big scoop. Pam Bondi will soon leave her job as the attorney general. She is going to get a different job within the administration. It doesn't sound like there is any bad blood between her and President Trump, but it does seem like they want her to go and do something else.
Yeah, and we wanted to do something else. I'll stop all that. Yeah, Pam Bondi's done. I also think that this bears mentioning. Producer Steven, really great at finding this audio. This is Pam Bondi back in February, something that got so talked about that even Democrats were crapping all over her like Republicans were for her inability to do anything well in regards to the Epstein files. But here is about a minute of testimony that she gave where she wanted to blame everybody but herself for a thing that she did very, very wrong that never hurt Trump at all, even though Democrats seemed to be so excited about the idea that maybe all this was being hidden because Trump was somehow going to get in trouble. And yet here we are, no harm to Trump whatsoever, which is why this should have come out much sooner and much easier than how this all went about actually occurring.
The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over $50,000 right now. The S&P at almost $7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Mr. Jordan, Mr. Jordan.
Committee will be in order.
Mr. Jordan, am I going to get an extra 45 seconds added to my time?
The committee will be in order.
By the
time belongs to the gentleman from Texas.
We're good now. We're good. Thank you. But yeah, Pam Bondi, terrible job. And she's fired. I actually was trying to envision what I thought that meeting would have gone like. And I just have a bunch of different ideas for how it could have gone with Pam rolling into the room, President Trump looking at her, and some version of this.
Fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
I'm going to stop it there. That goes on for 3 minutes. That's all the different firings that happened in the Apprentice over the years. So many you're fired, and I can't imagine which one it was he actually used. But Pam is out. And I think this will make a lot of conservatives very happy, as I said a second ago. Because there is a significant belief within a whole lot of people that she was sitting on things. So I think what'll be really important to demonstrate the potential truth in that is who takes the role next, not the interim person, but who actually gets the gig and how many people we see get in trouble after that gig is given to somebody. After the individual who takes control looks at all the documents on the desk and says, you know what? Some of these people probably deserve to be arrested, or at least deserve to be hauled into court and answer some questions about things that look really, really bad for a lot of reasons. All right. By the way, I'm thumbing through other stuff I'm going to play, and I just saw a video of the young Yankee pitcher, and I don't want to say his last name because I don't want to mess it up on the air, but it's not a last name that's inappropriate. It's just very close to something bad. Cam is incredible, though. That young guy is amazing. I watched him pitch the other day, and it looks like they have a really, really good pitcher. That's not important. I just saw it, got distracted for a second. Let's get back to things that matter. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson is nuts. She says some crazy things. This is one of the crazier things she said yesterday during a conversation about birthright citizenship. While she's saying crazy stuff, it seems like there's some people in the room acknowledging this is insane. And then you have crazy politicians like politicians in Texas, Jasmine Crockett, who's luckily not going to be a politician for too much longer, praising Jackson and saying how much smarter she is than everybody else in the room. Let's let you decide who the intelligent person is here.
I was thinking about this, and I think there are various sources that say this, that you obviously have permanent allegiance based on being born in whatever country you're from. That's what everybody recognizes. But you also have local allegiance when you are on the soil of this other sovereign. And I was thinking, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen and visiting Japan. And what it means is that, you know, if I steal someone's wallet in Japan, the Japanese authorities can arrest me and prosecute me. It's allegiance, meaning can they control you as a matter of law? Yeah. I can also rely on them if my wallet is stolen to, under Japanese law, go and prosecute.
I know she's not saying this directly, but I kind of wish it had gotten all the way to, so if I steal somebody's wallet in Japan, I'm a Japanese citizen. I wish we had jumped all the way to that level, which she doesn't. But again, she's talking about the amount of, I guess, respect or the allegiance you have to places that you're at for an amount of time. Our country is seeing a huge uptick in the amount of people who come here, have kids here, do all kinds of things here, and don't give a crap about our country. I don't care about any of the values of it, don't want to assimilate into any form of what the U.S. means to you or me, whoever you are. I don't care if you're hardcore liberal or a common sense human being like I am. Whoever you are out there, there's a version of America that hopefully you recognize as a thing. And there's a whole lot of people who hate every form of that. They hate everything that you stand for, no matter who you are, if you're even like 1% understanding what the American value system actually is. And here, I'll play an example of this as a way to demonstrate how many people are abusing birthright citizenship and to the degree they've been doing it. This is from 2020. This is a New York City, I think it's CBS2 story about finding a baby factory here in the United States where people were coming and having children so that the children could be U.S. citizens. This is in 2020. This has been going on for a very long time in a lot of bad ways. Anyone who tells you that birthright citizenship is harmless or that it exists everywhere, which it doesn't, it exists in some countries near us on this side of the world. It doesn't exist anywhere in Europe whatsoever, and there's reasons for that. And it doesn't exist in most of the rest of the world because unless you're a country that no one really wants to go to, birthright citizenship is this easily abused. But here, let me play audio and a video from just news reports, CBS2 in New York in 2020, that demonstrate how much of an issue this is. How it does need to be fixed.
Crackdown on an alleged anchor baby ring on Long Island. Prosecutors say more than 100 pregnant women from Turkey came here to give birth, so their children were instantly granted U.S. citizenship.
Investigators say the women then used benefits like Medicaid. CBS2's Carolyn Gossoff reports from Suffolk County.
An alert Smithtown employee.
And that's what I wish he said. I wish he was just standing in front of a courthouse somewhere like, this is bad. It's not good. It's the old Family Guy weather report. I don't even need to play the rest of it for you. The reason I chose that audio, though, is because somebody somewhere or multiple people on the left will tell you this is a issue invented by the right. It's not real. It's conspiracy theory, fear-mongering, anything like that. And yet it's a reality. It's a reality that CBS in New York was willing to report about 6 years ago that they're probably not doing any sort of stories on now because it's inconvenient for the narrative now. All right, there's one other thing I want to play. This is totally out of left field, but I can't help it just because I thought it was so crazy. Leslie Jones is someone you might not even be familiar with. She was on Saturday Night Live for a little while. She's a black comedian. She did an interview on a podcast that I think is called My Black Friend. I'm pretty sure because I see that in the background of the video I'm watching. And it's hosted by another black woman. And here's the reason I want to play this for you, because it's a crazy take. She says how marriage is slavery or something similar to it. But I love the way the host, who seems to really disagree with the thing this crazy person next to her is saying. But in liberal media, in the liberal world, you got to respect everybody. So there's no version of, what are you talking about? That's insane. You're an idiot. Why would you say that like that? There's a bunch of like, huhs, and then they move on. But it's like 30 seconds of Leslie Jones saying the modern version of slavery is marriage, especially being a, quote, trad wife, which is something she'll say in here. That means a traditional wife, someone who takes care of the home, cooks and cleans. Apparently that is slavery to Leslie Jones. Here we go.
I think marriage is legalized slavery.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Say more, because if I'm thinking about slavery and I'm thinking about marriage, there are two different images that come to my head.
Absolutely not. I
love that that's the biggest objection. She goes, if I'm thinking about slavery and I'm thinking about marriage, I have different visions in my head of what those things are.
I don't know how you don't. A man is, especially if he's expecting you to be a trad wife, he might as well pull out a whip and a chain.
Wow. So there are young people watching who might be wanting to get married. Wow, what would you say to them?
Don't
do it.
Don't get married.
No.
Okay.
And then you just move on because you don't want to actually object to the idiot person you're interviewing in the world of liberal media. If this happened in conservative, if this happened on Dana's show, it would be hilarious to hear the way that Dana would react to Leslie Jones saying those things, because it would be a very different conversation. There wouldn't be the very simplistic, you know, what I'm picturing in my head is different than slavery when I think about marriage to a Leslie Jones. But all right, I just love that out there. And I love how that's one of the reasons the left can't participate in actual discourse. They can't have an argument with anybody that they disagree with, because they either have to get over the top angry and not make any sense at all, or overly accept every single thing that's said to them, regardless of how insane it is. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
You know how most makeup makes you look done, but not necessarily like yourself? I get so tired of products that cover everything up, and it leaves product on my skin, and it makes it dry and cakey and makes you feel like you're wearing a mask. So that's why I tried Jones Road Beauty's Miracle Balm. You just warm up a small amount of product with your fingertips. You tap it on your cheeks, on your lips. You can even put a little bit on your eyelids if you want for some color. And it gives you this effortless, clean girl glow instead of that heavy makeup mask. And it can also replace so many steps and products. Like, think of it, highlighter, bronzer, blush, your lip tint, but it's all in one little jar. No brushes, no 20 frillion step routine. I mean, it's great for busy mornings or school drop off or travel. If you got like an early morning flight and you want to look nice, but not overdone, or when you're running around after a workout and you just, you know, want to look fresh. And the best part is that Jones Road's formulas are clean, so they look natural and they feel like you're wearing next to nothing. Bring out your natural glow instead of hiding it with Jones Road. And for a limited time, you'll receive a free shimmer face oil on your first purchase when you use code Dana. So just head on over to jonesroadbeauty.com and use code Dana at checkout. And after you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. And please support The Dana Show and tell them that I sent you.
Hello, hello. I'm Malcolm Gladwell, host of Smart Talks with IBM. I recently spoke with IBM's new director of research, Jay Gambetta. We discussed his vision for the future of quantum computing.
At IBM Research, what we always do is answer what is the future of computing, whether it's coming up with new algorithms, coming up with better AI, coming up with quantum, or coming up with just how do different accelerators go together. It's our DNA to answer the question of what is the future.
Isn't it a perfect problem for IBM, because you kind of need to have a legacy of building stuff?
Yes.
Building actual physical machines.
Yeah, it's why I came to IBM. I wanted the experience, the culture of building hard things that others have not done before.
Mm-hmm. Where do you imagine we are in the timeline of this technology? There will come a point when it will mature, right?
Yeah.
My cell phone is a mature technology at this point. How far are we from that point with quantum?
By 2029, we'll build the first fault-tolerant quantum computer. That is one that can run a very, very large problem.
To learn how IBM is building the future of computing, visit ibm.com/quantum.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. We make the amazing Solaire infrared gas grills that are built to last and will give you better than restaurant grilled food. The Solaire infrared burner heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills food faster. Learn more about these fantastic USA-made grills at besthotgrill.com/hot. Solaire hot fast grills at besthotgrill.com/hot.
10, 9, 8, 7, RS-25 engines lit. 4, 3, 2, 1, booster ignition, and liftoff. The crew of Artemis II now bound for the moon. Humanity's next great voyage begins.
I do have a criticism, by the way, but I'll let it do a little more.
Good roll pitch.
Roger, roll pitch.
Houston now controlling the flight of integrity on the Artemis II mission around the moon.
By the way, I was uniquely sort of happy to hear Houston now controlling the Artemis mission because that's where I live. I'm in Houston right now. I've been living there for a little while. And so it's kind of cool. I feel more pride both in Houston and then also in our country by watching us fire a rocket that has people on it toward the moon. They're going to do a drive-by, a hello of the moon, and then come back. They're testing a bunch of the life support systems. It's not going to be a moon landing trip, but that's coming soon. And I also did love this audio. This is a teenager or a little kid. I think he's probably a preteen or something, being asked a question about why he's there at the rocket launch yesterday in Florida. He's got a NASA hat on. He's got a GoPro camera on his head too, I guess, so he can capture every moment. And I love this kid's answer to the question. Hey, why are you here, young buck? What are you doing?
Why do you want to be here? Why do you love space? Why do you love being a part of history?
We're going back to the freaking moon. That's why.
By the way, it's freaking for anyone that's hearing it differently. It is not actually a bad word. I thought about bleeping it because bleeping it makes it even funnier. But no, he doesn't say an actual bad word. But the young man, very excited to go back to the moon, as most of us are. And pretty awesome. I did see a story. Actually, producer Steven sent me a story about the toilet already having a problem on Artemis II. Not great. Just for historical significance or whatever, just for edification, the Apollo mission guys, they did not get a toilet. They had paper bags that they had to go in. So the toilet is an upgrade from the last time we were firing people off toward the moon. But sadly, apparently, there's already an issue with said toilet. I don't know how much it's functioning or not, and whether they can save it for the mission, which I think was in that story. All right, other stuff. The moon is cool. Firing a rocket toward the moon with people on it. Uniquely, I think, almost patriotic. You know what? Actually, okay, I'm not going to move on. I'm going to say one last thing about this, and then we're going to move on to more political stuff. I do think, and I've been talking to some friends of mine that do media for a living too, not just myself, about how significant it is for younger generations to see American dominance in whatever form that is, whether that's the one-day trip to Venezuela that removes a dictator there that we did not acknowledge as a true leader of a country, whether it's a 30-something day, 40-something day fight in Iran that hopefully removes any capability of nuclear weapons being a thing that an enemy of ours, certainly an enemy, one that's declared war on us multiple times, they're not going to be capable of having this hopefully very soon. So that'll be good. Or this, or, you know, a manned mission to the moon. These are all things that if you're of a certain generation, you can remember it or at least talk to somebody who remembers it. And then the younger you get, the more likely that you don't have that firsthand experience or even secondhand knowledge of something like this to have that conversation. So I think this is a generically good thing, regardless of politics. There should be some praise given to the president because of how much he's talked about the importance of these sort of things and America first being a focus for our country. And I would just say this last thing about that for anyone that gets mad that, hey, Trump's not involved. How dare you say he should get any credit? If there were a Democrat in office people would be, especially if it were Harris, which thank God that didn't happen, but people would be singing the praises in mainstream media of the Democratic leader saying that they were a conduit to this level of success for the American people, for our society, and seeing what happened the other day. That would, you know, wall-to-wall coverage would include mention of the person in charge of the country if that person fits the side of the aisle that most of that media is on. All right, President Trump did speak last night. It was like a 30-minute thing. It's actually funny. The radio station I work at in Houston, KSEV Radio, we had a debate as to how long we thought Trump would talk for. And even though it was like a presidential address, which can only go 20-30 minutes on average, it's Trump. So you don't know. It could have been an hour. It could have been 2 hours. I think we blocked out two potential hours, and it only went 20 or 30 minutes, which sort of disappointed me because we were ready to go, man. We had a lot of time available to air the entirety of this thing, however long it was. But nonetheless, here's a little bit of what he said about how successful we've been in our campaign to remove Iran's capability of ever getting nuclear weapons and also upending their system of funding a whole lot of terrorism throughout the world.
Tonight, I want to provide an update on the tremendous progress our warriors have made in Iran and discuss why Operation Epic Fury is necessary for the safety of America and the security of the free world. From the very first day I announced my campaign for president in 2015, I have vowed that I would never allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. This fanatical regime has been chanting death to America, death to Israel for 47 years. Their proxies were behind the murder of 241 Americans in the Marine barracks bombing in Beirut, the slaughter of hundreds of our service members with roadside bombs. They were involved in the attack on the USS Cole, and they carried out the countless other heinous acts, including the just horrible, bloody atrocities of October 7th in Israel, something that most people have never seen anything like it.
You know, it's interesting about all that, as he's saying, running through the list of reasons that they're absolutely a threat to our country or a threat to our allies. When he said the 47 years part, they've been chanting death to America for 47 years. Because it's Trump and he likes to exaggerate, it almost sounded like one of those moments where he's like, for hundreds and hundreds of years, or however he would say it. But that's fully true. They've been at war with us for about that long. Most recently, I think, declaring war on us in December of last year. So I just don't understand the amount of people who say that this is bad and it has to be bad, especially because people are pretending as though this is the end of a forever war that we're 32 days into. We're not 33 days into. We're not at the end of a forever war getting to criticize how much money and waste and all the things that happened there. And if this ends in, say, a couple weeks, if it's over, it's a blip in the radar as far as the amount of time we spent in combat with this other country to dismantle anything that we don't want them to have and anything that protects not just us, but it seems like the rest of the world from the aggressiveness of a country like this that declares war on us and Israel and everybody else all the time. It seems like it's the kind of thing, and I hate when this happens sometimes in politics when people say this, but it seems like a wait and see moment. Like, give it a couple more months before you tell us that this is the kind of thing that's horrible and terrible for everyone in our society. More from President Trump. When he mentioned the Hormuz Strait, the Strait of Hormuz, he did talk about how it's a you problem, not a me problem, essentially saying that we don't need it opened as quickly as everybody else in the world or people in certain parts of the world need it opened. Yeah, it would be better for gas prices for us, but it's not an urgency thing. We're not running out of oil and gas here in the United States. So this is a thing you need to figure out with our assistance. But like 99% of the work is not coming from our country and our military force.
The United States imports almost no oil through the Hormuz Strait and won't be taking any in the future. We don't need it. We haven't needed it and we don't need it. We've beaten and completely decimated Iran. They are decimated both militarily and economically and in every other way. And the countries of the world that do receive oil through the Hormuz Strait must take care of that passage. They must cherish it. They must grab it and cherish it. They can do it easily We will be helpful, but they should take the lead in protecting the oil that they so desperately depend on. So to those countries that can't get fuel, many of which refuse to get involved in the decapitation of Iran, we had to do it ourselves. I have a suggestion. Number one, buy oil from the United States of America. We have plenty. We have so much.
We're doing great.
And number two, build up some delayed courage. Should have done it before. Should have done it with us, as we asked. Go to the Strait and just take it, protect it, use it for yourselves. Iran has been essentially decimated. The hard part is done, so it should be easy.
Go do the thing that we're not going to do because we don't need to do it. Go finish the job that we did a whole lot of the work on. Go get an A with us on the paper that we wrote most of. I like this as a stance. I'm sure a lot of people don't. I'm sure most of those other countries don't like this as a stance, essentially saying we caused this problem. How dare we say this now? But it is true that the U.S. is the largest producer of oil in the world. You know, multi-million barrels per day pumping out of the U.S. And that's why drill, baby, drill is such an important part of our capability of doing something like this on a world stage. We can't be threatened the same way other countries can by a restriction of oil. It can't happen to the United States. Yeah, we pay more at the pump when globally the price is higher, but that doesn't mean that we're going to run out. I'm not going to be incapable of filling my vehicle because we don't have any oil here or any gas or any of that stuff. That's just not going to be a thing, is what Trump is saying. And so it might feel that way financially, but it's far different in other parts of the world where they're literally going to run out of some of the things they most need. And I think that is probably the, well, you know, the thing that takes the most you-know-whats to say out loud to people. And Trump did it last night. He's like, you go do it. We're done. And the only way in which I think Iran is still a threat to anyone trying to take the Strait is due to drones. Drones are relatively cheap. We have decimated a lot of their defense forces, including drone factories and whatnot. But if they can figure out how to get more drones that just fly kamikaze style at any ships in the Strait of Hormuz, it's a challenge, but not a challenge that's unwinnable. It's a challenge that is winnable, but you have to get involved. You have to do stuff, is basically what Trump is saying to anyone out there who's refusing to do anything and just assumes the U.S. will do everything for other countries. We're not in the service industry the way we were before when it comes to NATO or anything. We expect everybody else to pony up. We're splitting the check, essentially. We're no longer covering it. It's not a first aid anymore. The U.S. is not footing the bill. You got to pay your way to go ahead and get the meal with us. All right, we're going to take a break. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to get to. This is the Dana Show, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio, and X on Twitter. A great way is to stay connected to her. My name is Craig Collins filling in.
The folks who help bring you the program. It is our friends over at American Financing. It's America's home for home loans. And with American Financing, they understand things that you used to buy and, you know, just regular average everyday things that you had no problem affording prior now is super expensive because, you know, the economy is weird and we're still coming out of everything that we went through with Biden very slowly but surely. And the cost of living is gone up, right? And we have to make changes here domestically to make income match that. But anyway, why would you keep handing your hard-earned paycheck to big banks when you could keep it for your own family? The folks at American Financing are helping homeowners tap into their home equity to pay off high-interest debt with mortgage rates that are currently in the fives. Now, their customers save anywhere from $800, about around $800 a month, some a little over. That's like $10,000 a year right back in your pocket. It's not just a loan. It's a complete financial reset that can simplify your money life, and it takes about 10 minutes to find out what you could save. There's no upfront fees, and you don't have an obligation to speak with one of their consultants who are salary-based, by the way. They don't work on commission. If you start today, you could even delay two mortgage payments, which means immediate cash in your pocket when you need it most. Give American Financing a call at 866-885-1332. That's 866-885-1332 or visit AmericanFinancing.net/Dana. Check out how much you could save at AmericanFinancing.net/Dana.
NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the 5 start at 6.196% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-885-1332 for details about credit costs and terms or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
Hello, hello. I'm Malcolm Gladwell, host of Smart Talks with IBM. I recently spoke with IBM's new director of research, Jay Gambetta. We discussed his vision for the future of quantum computing.
at IBM Research, what we always do is answer what is the future of computing, whether it's coming up with new algorithms, coming up with better AI, coming up with quantum, or coming up with just how do different accelerators go together. It's our DNA to answer the question of what is the future.
Isn't it a perfect problem for IBM because you kind of need to have a legacy of building stuff?
Yes.
Building actual physical machines.
Yeah, it's why I came to IBM. I wanted the experience, the culture of building hard things that others have not done before.
Mm-hmm. Where do you imagine we are in the timeline of this technology? There will come a point when it will mature, right?
Yeah.
My cell phone is a mature technology at this point. How far are we from that point with quantum?
By 2029, we'll build the first fault-tolerant quantum computer. That is one that can run a very, very large problem.
To learn how IBM is building the future of computing, visit ibm.com/quantum.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. Step up your grilling game with Solaire portable infrared grills, which are perfect for RVers, tailgaters, backyards, and a memorable gift. Solaire infrared provides the quick sear for bar marks and texture needed to properly finish sous vide. Use a Solaire portable alongside your current gas grill as a sear zone for more juicy and flavorful food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com/hot. Affordable, powerful, portable infrared grills at besthotgrill.com/hot.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. One of the biggest stories today is that Pam Bondi was fired. She's out. She's done. I thought this was interesting. Some other reports said the reason why, maybe this is all just a hypothetical. I don't have anyone on the record telling me this, but I am seeing some chatter about it. It may be because Pam Bondi was informing Eric Swalwell of the upcoming investigation into Feng Feng, into the woman. That seemed to get way too close to one Eric Swalwell and he gave her a whole lot of information shouldn't have been giving her. Anyway, there's some testimony of Swalwell that's now gone viral in response to this story. I'm going to play a little bit of it. But I do think this is pretty interesting that tipping off a Democrat and trying to help protect them because of, quote, a personal friendship. This is all the D.C. crappy, swampy stuff that we all assume goes on all the time in any form. If Pam Bondi was actually caught red-handed in one of these, not only was she failing to throw anyone in jail on that, I didn't know that actually had bad audio in there. Let's go ahead and make sure to remove that as best we can. But anyway, it's essentially him trying to sound like a victim. And as we go through that audio, Swalwell eventually says out loud in this testimony that people were feeding him information, letting him know that there was an ongoing investigation into his relationship with Feng Feng. Thank you to producer Steven for helping fix a thing that I pulled up on the fly and should have checked better. But nonetheless, Swalwell, not a victim, someone who gave a whole lot of sensitive information to an individual that was trying to con him in sort of ridiculous ways. And maybe, just maybe, Pam Bondi is involved somehow in helping Swalwell to predict that. But here, I'll play the actual. I know this is clean. Producer Steven sent it to me. This was the announcement that Pam Bondi has been fired. This is from Peter Ducey saying how, he got off the phone with Trump and this is over. And it's sudden, which makes you believe that maybe some of those, and some people might call them conspiracy theories, are actually accurate. The things talking about how it was this action in this moment, in this case, that might have finally tipped off Trump that everything people were saying about Bondi was true. But here we go.
Kaylee, I just got off the phone with President Trump. We have a big scoop. Pam Bondi will soon leave her job as the Attorney General. She is going to get a different job within the administration. It doesn't sound like there is any bad blood between her and President Trump, but it does seem like they want her to go and do something else. And in an interim role, she will be replaced by Todd Blanche, who is currently her deputy Justice Department. So it doesn't sound like Blanche is being elevated long term to the Attorney General. There might be somebody else that the president wants to go in there.
Lee Zeldin is the name that a lot of people are talking about right now, currently in charge of the EPA, but someone who doesn't seem like they're willing to suffer any fools, and someone who seems very willing to make sure to hold people actually responsible. That's the whole thing. And honestly, it's sort of crazy if it's Swalwell too, that Bondi was protecting. Because talk about a person that seems to easily be capable of getting in a whole lot of trouble all on his own. Like, why would you leak documents or leak information to try to help that person navigate a case against him? Because that's pretty basic knowledge in our society beyond politics, that he was doing things he shouldn't have done, that a romance scam essentially gave information to people that shouldn't have had it. And I do love some of the other people. I'm not going to take a chance and play any of this other audio that I saw, but I do love some of the other people that talked about how Feng once approached them, like a bunch of other people in politics and connected to certain information that maybe the Chinese government would have wanted, and that they all immediately realized that she was definitely a person trying to gain information and basically prostituting herself out for it. And they all rejected the ability for this person to even be alone in a room with them, much less someone that they dated. Swalwell, not so smart, not so intelligent there. So that is an issue. President Trump, for his part, did say in a Truth Social post that Pam Bondi is a great American patriot, a loyal friend, faithfully served as attorney general over the past year. She did a tremendous job overseeing a massive crackdown in crime, with murders plummeting to the lowest level since 1900. This is all a kind words that President Trump gave about Pam Bondi. We love Pam, and she will be transitioning to a much needed and important job in the private sector to be announced at a date in the future. And our deputy attorney general and the very talented and respected legal mind, Don Blanche, will be stepping in the interim. So again, all of this important, all of this matters. I just wonder what the final tipping of the iceberg was, because there's a lot of people who've been calling for this for a while. This was not like new information. If President Trump sat down the other night before his speech and was told that it seemed like Pam Bondi might have done something wrong, it had probably been from a lot of sources who've been begging him for months to can that person. So she is gone. It is over. It is done. And that seems to be better for everybody, if I'm being totally honest. Because here's the thing. I guess I should say the last part just to make sure to be as clear as possible. If the next person who takes the role, whether it's Lee Zeldin or someone else, actually does wind up getting some people in some amount of trouble, whether that's full-on arresting or courtroom testimony or something, you start to see people who actually are paying the price for behavior that seems to be easily described as illegal. That would be as much an indictment as anything else that Pam Bondi just sat on her hands. In the other version of a future scenario where someone takes over and doesn't take any more action than Pam was taking on these past cases, it'll leave you scratching your head and wondering what's going on. But for now, at least in the short term, it feels like it might be a very valuable step in the right direction to appease a whole lot of Trump supporters, a lot of Americans who believe that not enough people have been in trouble. And I can talk about that on a macro level, too, because I'm in that camp of people. And I played James O'Keefe audio on a different radio thing that I was doing last week. And James O'Keefe was basically complaining, even though I know he's tied to some organizations that might not be terribly reputable anymore. But his own organization is one that seems to uncover a lot of bad things. And Project Veritas is one that seemed to get a lot of people on the record saying things. It's essentially the same way, too. The Feng of the world, it was a similar thing. It was a honeypot scenario more often than not, where you got someone on the record who didn't know they were being recorded saying stuff that seemed really bad. But anyway, even he was complaining that Pam Bondi hasn't done enough and there's stuff sitting on her desk that should be used. There should be action taken on this. All right, let me transition to birthright citizenship as a topic of conversation. Scott Jennings was talking about this on CNN. Here's a little bit of what Jennings said about birthright tourism and how bad it is and how common it is. And I even had audio played earlier today on this show from a 2020 report by, I think it was CBS News in New York, talking about how there was a factory busted where a whole bunch of women were trying to give birth here in the United States in order to have a bunch of U.S. babies. Like, it's a thing. Tourism for the sake of birthright citizenship happens very often. It's not good for our society. It's one of several ways that system is abused, and it's just denied by the left ad nauseum. Here we go.
both sides.
Yeah, I thought the debates were interesting. The back and forth was interesting. And, you know, you'll know better than me about how you think the court's leaning. I do think there's a large conversation. This is part of it going on in the country right now about who we're letting in here and why they're here and whether they are loyal to the United States of America. And that's a good conversation for us to have. Now, whether it gets resolved in this court venue or whether it gets resolved in Congress or in other ways, for instance, this conversation over birthright tourism that's going on. I mean, you have a foreign adversary set with companies that are set up to help people facilitate having births in the United States to exploit our system.
That is not a conspiracy theory. That's a real thing. There's a bunch of data and whatnot that proves that that is something that actually happens. And as I said, there's a report in New York media from 2020 where they busted one of these places where a whole bunch of women were trying to give birth from a foreign country here in the U.S. and then take advantage of our welfare system. One of several ways that they abuse a birthright citizenship. Let's let Scott Jennings do a little more
talking. It's a worthwhile thing for the American people to know. It's a worthwhile debate for us to have. So how the court comes out on this, I don't know. But that's information that we need to know because we do have foreign adversaries that are trying to infiltrate the country and exploit what's been our good nature for many years.
Yeah, it's bad. We need to not do that. We need to stop that, prevent that at all costs as much as we can. I agree with him. I will say that I think the Supreme Court has demonstrated, they've signaled that they're very unlikely to turn this away. They're going to uphold birthright citizenship as a believed component of the 14th Amendment. Something that I think the best argument against has been none of the people who crafted the 14th Amendment could have ever envisioned a society in which people could hop on a plane, be here relatively quickly, and give birth to a child on our soil over and over and over again in order to game a system that was really being put in place to protect slaves that were trying to get citizenship in our country. And yet again, this is just a ridiculous example of how something eventually gets completely, completely corrupted by either government lack of action or a lot of times the government itself. And then you're set with this new question that has an obvious answer. And yet a lot of people are resisting that obvious answer because they think there's political optics involved. It's not difficult. It's easy. I think all the countries in Europe do not have birthright citizenship. Most of the countries in the world. Some stat that you'll find out there says something like 30 countries do have it. But by and large, it's places you wouldn't want to live. And then, yes, a few of our neighbors like Mexico and Canada have versions of it. But even still, the United States is uniquely being exploited with this in ways that we need to stop. We need to answer the current question we have, whether that's the amendment of a constitution, which would happen through Congress, not through, of course, the judicial system. Or this, just some version of fighting this thing. It seems like a good thing. And I think the best thing that Jennings said there is people need to know about this because the odds of you thinking that it's not a big deal, it doesn't matter, whatever, is a big problem. It's a big issue. You need it to be a solved issue so that you don't have that problem moving forward. All right, we'll take a break. A lot more. Craig Holland's filling in on The Dana Show.
It's our friends over at Ghost Bed. I have this, but I love my bed. It's brand new. I think we haven't even had it for a week yet, and I already love it. I had a super bougie mattress that I thought was going to be like the be all end all that you're going to like go off into the sunset with because it's like no, it wasn't that bad. We switched to a Ghost Bed, and it's just constructed better. I can tell the seaming, the materials. They the way that they approach it, they don't just like make mattresses, right? They build what they view as engineered sleep systems. So they look at it like a piece of health equipment. It's designed for relief and recovery. It's not just looks and fluff. And so your body should be healing while you're sleeping, not fighting to get you comfortable all night. So I notice a difference immediately. I mean, the temperature's better, less tension. You don't wake up sore. It's just a perfect firmness. And so if you're tossing and turning at night, if you sleep hot, you're reaching for, constantly waking up to get comfortable. That's your mattress. Ghost Bed is made to help with this exact issue, supporting cooling, real comfort so you can actually rest. And you get 101 nights to try it for free at home. And if you don't feel the difference, 101 nights, try it at home. If you do not feel the difference, you can send it back risk-free. Visit ghostbed.com/Dana and use promo code Dana. They're offering all of you out there their lowest price of the season, plus an extra 10% off site-wide. That's ghostbed.com/Dana, promo code Dana.
Hello, hello. I'm Malcolm Gladwell, host of the podcast Smart Talks with IBM. I recently sat down with IBM's chairman and CEO, Arvind Krishna.
and I asked him, how can companies use AI to its fullest potential to create smarter business?
My one advice to them, pick areas you can scale. Don't pick the shiny little toys on the side.
Mm-hmm. For example,
if anybody has more than 10% of what they had for customer service 10 years ago, they're already 5 years behind it. If anybody is not using AI to make their developers who write software 30% more productive today, with the goal of being 70% more productive.
Yeah, wow.
So we are not asking our clients to be the first experiment on it. We say, you can leverage what we did. We're happy to bring out all our learnings, including what needs to change in the process, because the biggest change is not technology. It's getting people to accept that there's a different way to do things.
To listen to the full conversation, visit ibm.com/smarttalks.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. We make the amazing Solaire infrared gas grills that are built to last and will give you better than restaurant grilled food. The Solaire infrared burner heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills food faster. Learn more about these fantastic USA-made grills at besthotgrill.com/hot. Solaire hot fast grills at besthotgrill.com/hot.
This is The Dana Show.
My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. I do want to play this audio. This is breaking a few places today. Federal agents are carrying out raids across Southern California because of more healthcare fraud. The healthcare fraud that we found in Minnesota seems like it's rampant everywhere, which is another thing people talked about, that the template you were finding, you were going to find other versions of similar abuse. And then you were going to be able to crack down on it. It sounds like that's actually occurring. Here we go.
And a Fox News alert. We're just learning that this morning, federal law enforcement conducting raids across Southern California targeting alleged health care fraudsters. William Lajeunesse has more from Covina, California. That's just east of L.A. You've been on this story for a while. What happened?
Good morning, Dana. Yeah, this is the first takedown for the new White House Fraud Task Force. They arrested two owners of two hospices here in greater Los Angeles. They're accused of collectively stealing about $16 million from taxpayers. And this money was intended, right, for compassionate end-of-life care for the terminally ill.
Okay, that's insane on two levels. First, that it's only two hospices and it's millions and millions of dollars, which tells you how big the fraud is going to be if they crack it down on everyone that they believe is committing it, like the amount of money involved, but also the heartlessness of using it in a system that is designed to be compassionate to people that are nearing the end of their life. Like, it's the type of thing where people just don't care about our society at all. And I think it does take a certain type of individual. Typically, I think an individual from a foreign country who doesn't value anything about the United States and comes here simply to take advantage of us, like the Somalian fraud we saw in Minnesota. It sounds like that's the kind of thing you're going to be finding a lot of tied to these stories because of the type of human that would be necessary to even commit fraud to that level in those types of programs. And also, of course, tells you how bad it is to trust the government with any of your money ever, because they have no way to do anything. I don't know why. It is possible. They're just terrible at it and don't care at it, at preventing waste, fraud, abuse, and their own stealing of your dollars. Here's Dr. Oz also talking about how he believes that about half of all the hospice care facilities in Los Angeles are probably fraudulent.
We believe half of them are fraudulent. Half of the 1,800 hospices should not be in business if we are able to identify the red flags. And that's what we're basing these numbers on. These are not random assumptions. World experts at CMS say if you've got 100% or near survival, certainly if you've got a survival over 15% for a population that's supposed to pass in 6 months, you've got a problem. If you're clustered in the same buildings as other crooks, if you're sharing employee numbers and license numbers, if you've got a small number of people less than 50 members, you do that because you can hide what's really going on when they're small because you don't have reporting obligations.
I know the audio is not great there, but yes, he's going stage by stage in all the ways that we can identify from afar what is likely to be a fraudulent type of facility. And he thinks that about half of all the facilities in L.A. Fall under this description. And it does sound like it mimics a lot of what was being found in Minnesota. in Minneapolis when Nick Shirley or anyone else, actually really just Nick Shirley, went through and actually told us the truth about that stuff, and went door to door and found all the facilities in the same building, similar employees, no one ever showing up, no kids that actually went to any of these schools or any of these daycares or any of these healthcare providers, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it's more of the same. And so it's amazing that it takes that tipping of the iceberg to hopefully eventually get us. Then, of course, it takes the right administration in charge, because the other team, the team that probably set a lot of this up, the previous administration, Biden, had no interest in going down any of these rabbit holes, mostly because it probably gets back to him and his friends and his own family members. Because if you remember, one of the things he was accused of with hiding money and getting money from illegal places through Hunter eventually had like his grandchildren with bank accounts with tons of money in them, which made no sense. But it feels like the kind of thing that hopefully we get a whole lot more of. Now, granted, I'll say something else about this, because this is people getting arrested. I actually just watched a video of people in handcuffs being walked toward police cars. You still need high-profile individuals to also be arrested tied to this fraud for it to really matter to the American people. If you arrest a whole bunch of fraudsters throughout the entire country and throw a bunch of people in the hooscow, and we've never heard of any of these people, and we don't know anything about them, it's not going to move the needle enough as making sure that who's ever at the top of those totem poles, whether it's Ilhan Omar or someone else, is also facing the accountability that she deserves to be facing for any alleged involvement in that stuff. And it's just so unique that you happen to have a Somalian, you know, politician out of a place that winds up having a whole bunch of Somalian fraud. Like, that's just weird. And you feel like you got to ask some more questions there, to say the very least. I'm not saying I definitively know anything. I'm just saying this seems like a rational next step that for whatever reason we weren't taking. And now with Pam Bondi being fired, maybe very well the Justice Department will start doing more of this stuff. I also want to play this. This is audio of a conversation about boots on the ground in Iran. Boots on the ground is a unique thing. I'll say it this way. I'm not a supporter of a long-term conflict with our soldiers actually on, you know, physical land, fighting a fight against the Iranian people or the Iranian military, what's left of it. But I do understand that there's a semantic version of this where you could land on, say, an island close by, something that helps you open the Strait of Hormuz, et cetera, et cetera. And someone will claim that's boots on the ground, but it'll be a very quick, very short, you know, interaction that doesn't remain long form to have people, military, standing on the ground in places, in foreign countries that we are fighting. Like, it's not the same thing. I don't know how to say it different. I'm trying to say it the more valuable way, but I'll just say it the direct and simplistic way. I think there's mild versions, and then there's significant versions of this sort of thing. And I think out of all the places CNN was talking about it, and of course saying how bad it would be if we have any version of this, but there might be some semblance of it that is quickly then changed, in my opinion, in order to actually definitively win this fight that should be over in a couple weeks.
So let's shift to the war in Iran. Last night, the president's speech, we didn't hear much about the exact end game or whether there may be ground troops sent to the country. But a new CNN poll showed that just 11% of Americans are in favor of troops on the ground there. So I'm wondering, Senator, if he does decide to send in troops, should he come to Congress first for approval?
Well, I don't know that he has to come to Congress first, you know, for approval. Obviously, that would probably help him get some, you know, have some backing and whatnot. But at the same time, you know, he's got this window under the War Powers Act where he can make these decisions, and they have to be short term before he has to come to us and ask permission later. But I'm hopeful that he doesn't have to put troops on the ground.
He can do things in the short term is essentially more or less the answer given to CNN by Kevin Cramer, a senator. And yeah, of course that makes sense. And honestly, and I'll say it again, the way I was saying it before, there's different versions of this. There is a version of this, in my opinion, that is very short form and not what the American people are actually saying they're against. And there's another version where we occupy Iran for a while. And in a scenario like that, a scenario we saw in places like Afghanistan or Iraq, that's the kind of thing that becomes a forever war and the United States doesn't actually want to be involved in. So I understand, at least personally, I think the difference and the conversation and the way in which it's then sort of used, especially by a left-leaning media and mainstream media, to pretend as though any version of it will be a step too far. Every single one of these things that happens feels like a new version of the same game all over again. And that game being that they want to blame Trump for something that they think you're mad about. And so they try to make you mad at whatever the thing is they think that Trump's doing. And if you're not mad enough, they'll go back to the same, watering hole a little bit later on and try it all over again. By the way, I do want to play this too. Even Democrats don't like Democrats. This is a pretty funny CNN poll that was put out there. The numbers are just atrocious. Let's go ahead and play that audio too.
These numbers are just atrociously awful. A double A for the Democrats here. I mean, just take a look here. Congressional Dems have the right priorities. Look at this. Overall, 74%, nearly 3 in 4 say no. Just 25% overall say yes. You might say, okay, well, at least Dems like Democrats. Not the case. Look at this. The majority of Democrats are independents who lean Democrats. Look at this. 55% say no, congressional Democrats do not have the right priorities. And then you just see a minority, 45% of Democrats say that congressional Democrats have the right priorities.
All right, here's the thing. When you hear a stat like that, you might ask yourself a very simple question. How do you keep voting for these people? If you don't think they have your priorities in line, if they don't matter to you, 55 to 45%, how does anyone keep making the same mistake over and over and over again and expect a different result? This is absolutely the definition of insanity. And I thought that that was amazing. 74% overall of people, a whole bunch of Republicans, basically all the Republicans, but 55% of Democrats say that congressional Democrats do not have priorities aligned with them. Now, granted, I'm sure some people will make the argument that some of these voters are even further to the left than the individuals that they send to Washington, which is terrifying. And one of the reasons that I think Democrats placate those voters so often. But no matter what it is, I think that it's amazing for people to keep thinking I got to keep voting my team into office because of how bad my team is doing. My team is doing atrocious. If I were a Democratic voter, thank God I am not. And in doing that, you just keep getting more of the crap. Here, you know, I'll say it a different way, because this is interesting to me. It might not be interesting to you. I know this is a national show. I am based in Texas. And so there's a big conversation now about a senator that we've long had, John Cornyn, and whether or not he deserves to be elected again. He is in a runoff election against Ken Paxton. Most people in most surveys and data seem to believe that Paxton will overwhelmingly win, even though Cornyn is the incumbent, because Cornyn has failed Texas Republicans for years in a myriad of ways that matter. He's folded on issues that would be of the utmost importance. If you vote with me 80% of the time, 60%, 50%, but you miss all the things I think are most important, I don't really feel like I agree with you on very much, because if we're voting on the easy stuff together, but the hard stuff, you're often failing me, I think that matters. And the reason this all ties together is there's a lot of conservatives in Texas who believe that if Cornyn somehow wins the runoff election, which many people think he won't do, but if he somehow does it, then you need to sit out. You need to actually not vote in the midterm election because you need to send a message to your political party. And I understand that sentiment. I do. I'm sure people will say it's wrong. I'm sure other people will say it's right. But I get the idea of being so fed up. And a lot of Democrats in this survey seem to be in the same camp, in the same boat, so fed up that you need to do something to harm your political party so they don't keep thinking that they have your support no matter what, essentially taking you for granted. They have to hear you. You have to act in a way to force the politicians to hear you. I don't know if I like this solution, especially if it means a Democrat wins an election instead of a Republican, because that seems like bad things happen in those scenarios. But I understand the desire to get my voice heard, or collectively get your voices heard, and to feel like that's not getting done. And I've often talked about how that's a universal feeling on both sides of the political aisle. Democrats and Republicans feel this way very often. And that should say something to you, to me, to anyone, about voting in politicians that are America first and politicians that are against the swamp. Those should be the only priorities that matter. I don't care if it's an R or a D. I care if you're someone that doesn't like the swamp. By and large, that's going to actually be Republicans, if it's anybody, although there's a lot of corrupt ones. And then also a lot of people who are America first and not America last. That matters. And you hear this a lot of places, but you see it play out time and again in this data that shows how the American people actually feel about Washington, D.C., and yet nothing changes. All right, quick break. A little bit more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
The folks who help bring you the program, our friends at Burnergun. I've told you a million times before, you've heard me say it a million times, I have no problem using lethal force to protect myself or my loved ones. But I also understand that in some instances, you are denied your Second Amendment right, whether it's by municipal restrictions, private property restrictions, and always the individuals who do this never give you the ability to defend yourself, and they never give you any kind of armed security. So this is where Burner comes in. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. No permits, no background checks, no waiting periods. That's the thing. It's not a gun. So it doesn't care about dumb gun-free zones. Doesn't care because it's not a gun. And it's made right here in the U.S. of A. When you compare it to stun guns, which have maybe one or two rounds, the Byrna CL, the compact launcher, it's the only one you need to look at for this purpose, has a 15-round shot capacity per cartridge. And so you are able to still defend yourself, still have an ability to get yourself to safety, and you're not completely left defenseless by these ridiculous, barbaric laws. And you can buy it online. They send it right to your front porch. It's amazing. So check it out. Byrna.com/Dana. That's B-Y-R-N-A. Byrna.com/Dana. Check out your other options for self-defense when your Second Amendment is abridged. Byrna.com/Dana. Ready when you are.
Hello, hello. I'm Malcolm Gladwell, host of Smart Talks with IBM. I recently spoke with IBM's new director of research, Jay Gambetta. We discussed his vision for the future of quantum computing.
At IBM Research, what we always do is answer what is the future of computing, whether it's coming up with new algorithms, coming up with better AI, coming up with quantum, or coming up with just how do different accelerators go together. It's our DNA to answer the question of what is the future.
Isn't it a perfect problem for IBM because you kind of need to have a legacy of building stuff?
Yes.
Building actual physical machines.
Yeah, it's why I came to IBM. I wanted the experience, the culture of building hard things that others have not done before.
Mm-hmm. Where do you imagine we are in the timeline of this technology? There will come a point when it will mature, right?
Yeah.
My cell phone is a mature technology at this point. How far are we from that point with quantum?
By 2029, we'll build the first fault-tolerant quantum computer. That is one that can run a very, very large problem.
To learn how IBM is building the future of computing, visit ibm.com/quantum.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. Step up your grilling game with Solaire portable infrared grills, which are perfect for RVers, tailgaters, backyards, and a memorable gift. Solaire infrared provides the quick sear for bar marks and texture needed to properly finish sous vide. Use a Solaire portable alongside your current gas grill as a sear zone for more juicy and flavorful food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com/hot. Affordable, powerful, portable infrared grills at besthotgrill.com/hot.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a Quick Five on The Dana Show, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. Great ways to stay connected to her. I have stolen this segment. I do a Quick Four-ish segment on my show that I do in Houston. Thank you, Dana, for letting me steal this. That's with loving tribute to you, but your segment's the OG and it's better. Let's do this. Parents are yelling Jessica at their children. It doesn't matter if your child is actually named Jessica. It went viral that this will work to stop them if they're in the middle of a tantrum. So your kid goes crazy. You just look down the street or wherever you are, down the aisle at the grocery store, and you just yell Jessica real loud, and they will stop and look at you and probably mostly be wondering, who's Jessica? I think I have audio of some expert on TikTok, or at least claim they're an expert on TikTok, talking about why this works.
Jessica, come here. Come here, Jessica. He's crying. Come here. Are you going to stop crying because Jessica's coming? You want Jessica to come?
Yeah. I like that. In that case, it's even like, Jessica, come on down here. That's just an example of it. But there was also a viral expert saying the surprise element works, that confuses the child into wondering who Jessica is and why Jessica is a person at all that's being brought up in the conversation. I love that, especially the like yelling it down the hallway. because I have a buddy that's got a brand new kid, and he said he's absolutely going to try that on his infant to see if it works, because the infant's in the crying stage. We'll see if that... he'll report back. I'm sure everything will be okay. Best April Fool's stunts that brands pulled this year. There was a list created, I think, on Reddit. Some of the interesting ones, a chicken sauce flavored cola was a fake thing that Raising Cane's Chicken claimed they were debuting. The sauce Coke, which sounds terrible. A skincare mask for your butt was a thing that Dude Wipes put out there. They called them butt masks. And that sounds pretty awesome to me, in all honesty. Not that I'd use them, but just that product would exist in society. I'd like to buy it for my wife as a gift and see how mad she gets in response to me. But that's a pretty funny thing, to say the very least. A skincare face mask made of puff pastries. That was another one out there. DePuff is what they called it, but it was essentially just pastries that you were supposed to put on your face. And finally, an umbrella for your Uggs. Uggs said that they had a brand new little mini umbrella that would clip onto your Uggs and keep your feet dry if there's some sort of rain or something. Some of these ideas, it's funny, they come up with them as jokes and then people really like them, and some of them become real things. So that's just a warning out there for the companies that joke about this. You might wind up with a lot of demand for your thing. All right, that's it. I only did a couple. We'll do more in a bit. This is The Dana Show, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X and Twitter. Greg Collins filling in. More in a bit.
Last chance. We got a lot more on the way. Headlines coming up. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's the folks over at Super Beats. We've talked about Human and their Super Beats for a long time. Now, they were founded out of the UT Health Science Center, built on real cardiovascular research around blood flow and nitric oxide, heart health, healthy blood pressure, circulation, daily energy, all depend on healthy blood flow. And the Super Beats heart chews contain clinically studied ingredients shown to be 2 times more effective than diet and exercise alone. Just 2 chews support healthy blood pressure and heart healthy energy. They have the pomegranate berry flavor and the chocolate flavor now with 0 sugar, no added sugar, no artificial sweeteners, and they never include stimulants or anything like that, by the way. It's all built on the same science-led heart health support, and it's a daily chew that you can take. It works easily in your routine, tastes great. I take them, and you're going to love them too, now with 0 sugar. Support your heart health with new Super Beats Heart Chews, 0 sugar. Visit human.com/Dana, buy 2, get 1 free, and find out how to get a free 30-day supply. That's human.com/Dana.
Hello, hello. I'm Malcolm Gladwell, host of the podcast Smart Talks with IBM. I recently sat down with IBM's chairman and CEO, Arvind Krishna, and I asked him, how can companies use AI to its fullest potential to create smarter business?
My one advice to them, pick areas you can scale. Don't pick the shiny little toys on the side.
Mm-hmm. For example,
if anybody has more than 10% of what they had for customer service 10 years ago, they're already 5 years behind it. If anybody is not using AI to make their developers who write software 30% more productive today, with the goal of being 70% more productive.
Yeah, wow.
So we are not asking our clients to be the first experiment on it. We say, you can leverage what we did. We're happy to bring out all our learnings, including what needs to change in the process, because the biggest change is not technology. It's getting people to accept that there's a different way to do things.
To listen to the full conversation, visit ibm.com/smarttalks.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. We make the Solaire infrared grills, which are perfect for today's busy lifestyles. You're probably in your car right now wondering what you'll have for dinner tonight. Imagine that when you get home, your Solaire infrared grill will be at 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills faster, so that in a matter of minutes, you could be sitting down to a great tasting grilled dinner any and every night of the week. Your smoker or low-slow barbecue is great for the weekend, but the hot, fast speed and convenience of Solaire infrared grills make them your everyday go-to grill. And they aren't just for searing steaks. Solaire infrared grills also enhance fish, chicken, burgers, pork, shrimp, veggies, and fruit. Virtually everything your family enjoys. Learn more about these amazing USA-made grills at besthotgrill.com/hot. That's Solaire Infrared Grills at besthotgrill.com/hot.
This is the Dana Show.
My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. I teased this earlier. I want to pay it off. A 70-year-old Domino's delivery driver, his name is Dan, went viral. Apparently, his Domino's ran out of soda, so Dan decided to swing by a grocery store and grab a bottle of missing Diet Coke for an order that he was delivering. The customer was uniquely grateful when they found out about this and was disappointed they couldn't tip him more money. So even though there's a Ring doorbell capturing it and all that stuff, the customer's like, oh my God, I wish I had more cash to give you something. So instead of a tip that way, the person set up a GoFundMe for the 70-year-old Domino's delivery driver, who's a uniquely nice person. $30,000 was raised in response to this kind of feel-good story. I believe I have audio of the Ring doorbell camera, too. Let's play
that.
We got
a Diet Coke.
Oh, okay.
I stopped at the store, though.
Oh, you did not have to do that.
No, that's okay.
Did you really?
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, man. I can add more to your tip because you deserve more than that. I don't have any cash on me. That's my problem.
Oh, don't worry about it. That's fine. $660, that's a good tip.
No.
The store's right next door.
I appreciate that very much.
I want to tell him that, Dan. He's a great driver.
I'm going to, Dan. I appreciate you very much.
14 years I've worked here. I'm retiring in 26 days.
Look at him. Retiring in 2016, I guess. This went viral, and it's old. It's definitely old, but it's interesting that it popped up in my audio feed today because this guy deserved the money. So $29,000 that he got in compensation for a job well done. That's pretty cool. One other story that I saw out there that also went viral. I don't know if this was an April Fool's joke. Part of me assumes it might have been, but there was an announcement of a brand new service called the Attorney Shield. This offers you the ability to call a lawyer if you get pulled over by a cop or in any situation, and then they'll FaceTime during whatever the interaction is. This seems like this might make some not so tense situations way worse.
We're going FaceTime.
Here's a little bit of this
is an attorney.
Attorney? You normally have like an attorney? I've never seen that before. Phone attorney when you get
Attorney Shield.
What?
It's Attorney Shield.
Apps that you can download. People can use anytime they have an interaction with law enforcement. And we're just a service provided that we can help people navigate through traffic stops, answer any questions, inform them of their rights. And it's our goal just to make all interactions with law enforcement as quick and safe as possible for everybody involved.
There's something new every day, man.
I got to be honest, calling an attorney via FaceTime for a speeding ticket doesn't feel like something that's going to speed up that interaction. It does seem like it's going to go slower. But anyway, that was a viral video and also probably a staged commercial for a product and not a real thing. But it's out there. You can look it up, see if it's real, see if you want the Attorney Shield for you. All right, that's it. That's the whole show. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. We make the amazing Solaire infrared gas grills that are built to last and will give you better than restaurant grilled food. The Solaire infrared burner heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills food faster. Learn more about these fantastic USA-made grills at besthotgrill.com/hot. Solaire hot fast grills at besthotgrill.com/hot.
By the time I hit my 50s, I'd learned a few things, like how family is precious. Work can always wait. And 99% of people over 50 already have the virus that causes shingles. Not everyone at risk will develop it, but I did. The painful, blistering rash disrupted my life for weeks. Don't learn about your shingles risk the hard way. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
Struggling to see up close? Make it visible with Viz. Viz is a once daily prescription eye drop to treat blurry near vision for up to 10 hours. The most common side effects that may be experienced while using Viz include eye irritation, temporary dim or dark vision, headaches, and eye redness. Talk to an eye doctor to learn if Viz is right for you. Learn more at Viz.com.